Ramsey TV.
Paul gives us an amazing revelation here in Ephesians chapter 6. Squeezes it right in there, he does, with the armor of God. Yes, he does. Yes, yeah, keep the music rolling. Yeah. I'm in a better way today. I appreciate that. Thank you. Well, like, because I took my pill this morning because I waited too long. I'm tapering. I'm going to get rid of it completely, but I tapered a little too quick. So, yes, I am feeling better now. Somebody told me that I shouldn't drink alcohol. I'm thinking about that. Seemed like a crazy request. Right under that, somebody said that my whiskey order that they got me is available for pickup. So thank you very much. Appreciate that too. So I'm doing a mini series on the armor of God. This won't be an extended thing because it's really quite simple. But the revelation here that we're getting in verse 12 is absolutely amazing. So let's just review quickly with what I started yesterday. For the rest, brethren, mine, be invigorated in the Lord and in the might of his strength. So this is all God's armor. He owns it. You never own it. It's never yours. It's always his armor, the armor of God. It's always his strength, but you come under the influence of it. And this will enable you to stand up to the stratagems of the adversary. We're considering Satan here. Who is real, by the way? There is a real spiritual being named Satan. Some people don't think Satan exists. Well, that's exactly what Satan wants you to believe. Congratulations. If you don't believe Satan exists, like it was just a metaphor for evil. Satan's just a metaphor for evil. Well, maybe Jesus Christ is a metaphor for good. If you're going to say Satan doesn't exist, why don't you just say Jesus Christ doesn't exist either? Who is Jesus Christ being tempted by in the wilderness? Well, he's being tempted by a metaphor. Get behind me, metaphor. Pitiful. Take up the armor of God to enable you to stand up to the stratagems. These are tricks of the adversary. Here's a mind-blowing revelation. Are you ready for this? I might just deal the rest of the show with this. For it is not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh, but with the sovereignties, with the authorities, with the world mights of this darkness, with the spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials. Therefore, take up the armor of God. Now, this is amazing. If only your relatives knew, if only your wife knew, if only your husband knew, or your son or your daughter, only they knew. I don't know if I would tell them necessarily that their antagonism, as nice as it might be, whatever pure and holy form it may take, it is antagonism. Little do they know that they are being animated by the very being that when they're in church, they curse, they hate. You know how the Christians are. They're in church cursing Satan. They hate Satan. They claim power over Satan. Then they go home and they criticize the daylights out of you and they try to discourage you for believing the truth. And while they're doing that, they are actually the emissaries of Satan. They are actually being animated by Satan. How's that for a fun little biblical factoid? That's a fun little biblical factoid right there. It is not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh. Why the wrestling? Well, we're going to find with the pieces of this armor, let's just go through them real quick. The cuirass of righteousness, girded about your loins with truth, the evangel of peace, the large sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. All these things that you, members of the body of Christ, promote, the Word of God, the righteousness of God, the evangel of peace, that God is at peace with all humanity. And how could he torment anyone for eternity with whom he's at peace? He couldn't. All these things that you believe are being wrestled. You are being wrestled about these things by your loved ones. Possibly your own family members. But it is not them that you are wrestling with. Here's the shocking revelation. It is not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh, but with the sovereignties, authorities, world mights of this darkness, with the spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm wrestling these giant spiritual forces. No, you're not getting this. They are the spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials are seeking to destroy, to discourage, if not destroy you, and they are using blood and flesh. They are animating blood and flesh. There are millions of people who would never dream that they are the tools of Satan. Because again, when they're in their holy convocations, they're cursing Satan, and yet when they leave there to persecute you, they're the emissaries and the dupes and the useful, I hate to say this, the useful idiots of Satan. And Satan wants to discourage you. He wants to tell you that, no, 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 what you believe is wrong. You believe in the salvation of all? That's a little out there. You believe that God is sovereign over all humanity? Well, that makes people just puppets. That can't be right. You believe Jesus Christ literally died for our sins? What do you mean? He's the Son of, he is God. He's God the Father himself. How can God die? And so you're belittled, you're marginalized, you're discouraged quite often by people. I know I can hear them. I hear them. I hear what you tell me about them. And you might think, well, I'm not suffering for Christ. You know, you might feel bad. Why aren't I suffering more? Ladies and gentlemen, if you are wrestling against those who withstand the righteousness of God, that's one of the things that the armor protects. If you're arguing or fielding objections from people who disagree with your gospel of peace, that God is conciliated to the world, you're wrestling against Satan. You need this armor to protect you from lies, remember, from stratagems. And the stratagems are, there is no evangel of peace. You are not righteous before God. How can you say that? Because you don't even go to church. And this large shield of faith. The large shield of faith. Whose faith? Jesus Christ's faith. We talk about the faith of Christ. We are mocked for that. We are told that we need to work on, emphasize, build up our faith. We are told that our faith is the coin of the realm. We're not saved unless we can gin up the quantity and the quality of our faith. This is completely mocked. It's Satan who is mocking you using flesh and blood. So one reason I'm telling you this, I got my hair cut today. I think I still have a hair back here. There's a hair, something scratched me on my back. You see, I got my hair cut today. Do you like it? Yeah, one of them's still back here tormenting me. Maybe that's an emissary of Satan. No, emissaries of Satan, if only. No, that's just a hair on my back. It's not that. Emissaries of Satan know, Satan himself knows exactly how to discourage you. And that is, this was a shock to me when I first started this work. It's always an inside job. Oh my God, what a revelation that was to me. I'll never forget this. My friend Matt Rohrbach, this was back in 1993 when I was considering this work. I was planning it. I was planning on quitting the post office to do this full time. And I was going to write a newsletter, which I did, called it The Idle Babbler Illustrated. And my friend Matt Rohrbach, who worked with me at the post office, he became my partner in crime. And I had three small children at the time. And my biggest fear, listen to this, my biggest fear was that some rogue Christian, some crazy Baptist, was going to get hold of one of my newsletters promoting the salvation of all or the sovereignty of God and was going to, like, vandalize my house. The worst thing I could think of at the time was somebody throwing a brick through my window. And I had small kids, and it scared the crap out of me. And I became paranoid. I remember when I had an office then, I had an office outside the home in downtown Greenwich, Ohio, if you can call it downtown. I used to walk past this shrub on the way to my car, and I was worried that somebody was going to spring out from behind the shrub. What a joke. What a joke. That's not how Satan works. Boy, was I blindsided by this. Satan works inside jobs. It's inside. He wrecks the inner circle. He'll get you through your wife, through your husband, through your children, through your coworkers, through your fellow laborer. That's how he does it. It's insidious, but that's how he will kill you. That's how he attempts to kill you. This is not just to discourage you. This is not just to make you doubt what you believe. Satan would like you dead, and he will use other people to do it. And he doesn't do it, by direct means, although it's not that it's out of his purview to try it. But I said yesterday, Satan does not frontal attack. We have the protection of Christ for the frontal attacks. We have the protection of Christ for this too, but there's a specific section of Scripture dedicated to Satan's lies. So these are the most critical things that can wreck you. It's discouragement. Discouragement. When you look around, you're the only one who believes what you believe, and other people don't believe it. There you go. That's what I'm telling you. You're not wrestling with those people. Behind those people is Satan. Behind those people is the prince of darkness himself. They have no idea that they're tools of Satan. They have no idea. But I think Paul's telling us this to help us to ease up our fury, our potential fury or anger against the people who are opposing us. One must look behind them to see the source of the problem and not wrestle with the intermediate source. The intermediate source, that is the thing right in front of you, is the flesh and blood, your husband or your wife or your brother, your sister, your coworker, whatever. These are the people right in front of you. They're the ones who are opposing you, but you need to look behind them and realize that they're being animated by forces that are far more powerful than they are, and they're actually under the control of these forces. They would never believe it in a million years if you told them. In fact, I don't necessarily recommend telling you them, but this is what Jesus told Peter. Peter, remember, Peter was so sincere. Jesus was starting to predict his death and by crucifixion, and Peter said, "Lord, no, it won't happen to you. Like, we'll take care of this. This is not a fitting end for the Savior of Israel." And Jesus looked at Peter, looked at the flesh and blood, and he said, "Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan." Now, it's true, Satan is a generic word. It means adversary. It can be small letter or capital letter. Small letter is just an adversary, capital S, it's the adversary. I do believe in this context, Jesus is talking to Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Because the adversary was animating Peter. But see how it's done? See how it's done? See how it's so subtle? No, you shouldn't be. What are you talking about? You're getting crazy here talking about you're going to be dying. They're going to be... the chiefs of the temple are going to be putting you to death. No. This won't happen. See how subtle it is? See how subtle? Sometimes it's not that subtle. But behind it is a wily enemy. An enemy with tricks up his sleeve. An enemy that wants you disabled and wants me disabled. This enemy wants us disabled. And especially those of us who are attempting to take this good news, this actual evangel, out to the world. Because you see, Satan is not so concerned about billions of people who believe the lie, i.e. Christians. Not concerned about that. Why should he be? He inspired the lie and billions of people believe it. So he's not the numbers. It's not the numbers he's concerned with, especially when the numbers are camped around the lie. Satan is also not too concerned if a small handful of people have the truth. It's just a small group of people, like the disciples of Christ. And there's only 12 of them, Satan says. There's only 12 of them. 12 of them. What shows up on old Ratface's radar is when one of the 12, or all of the 12, attempt to take the message out to the billions who don't believe. That's when you show up on Ratface's radar. When you put your head out of the groundhog hole to take it out. And anyone attempting to take it out will suffer persecution. Anyone declaring Christ to be the savior of all humanity will suffer persecution. For this we are toiling and being reproached, Paul says, 1 Timothy 4:9-10. We rely on the living God who is the savior of all humanity, especially of believers. Paul says, for this we are toiling and being reproached. Who's he being reproached by? The Jews, maybe his own family members, by blood and flesh. Ephesians 6:12. But what I'm telling you and what Paul is telling us, and this is an important revelation, is that behind that blood and flesh are the powers of the enemy. And so Paul wants you and I want you to recognize that. It will maybe help soften your opinion of the blood and flesh in front of you, the poor people who are trying to talk you out of your justification, trying to talk you out of Christ as the Savior of all, trying to talk you out of the church as the repository of Satan's lies. Maybe you go a little softer on them because they are dupes of greater powers that would seek to destroy you and destroy you slowly from the inside out to make you quit this thing, to make you capitulate, to make you think, you know, it's an easier life if I just go to church with my wife. A much easier life. I'm just going to go to church with my wife. That's what Satan wants you to do. And he's using your wife to get you to do it. And you don't do it. I'm just trying to keep the peace. No, you're not. You're compromising the truth. You don't do it. Because it's not your wife that wants you to do it. It's Satan that wants you to do it. And this works the other way, obviously, with husbands telling their wives that they're crazy. Well, you're just a woman. You don't know what you're talking about. Oh, yeah. I know households where the woman, supposedly the weaker vessel, weaker physically only, believes the truth. And the husband has the audacity to think, how could God have passed over me and given the truth to you? So this worked both ways, but I'm telling you that you've shown up on the radar. It's an honor. It's scary a little bit. I know. I understand that. Believe me. But it's nevertheless an honor to be persecuted for the sake of the truth. And those who are persecuted for the sake of the truth will receive a great reward at the dais of Christ. So hang in there. I'm hanging in there with you. We're going to go over the items of this armor, and you are going to see that we are completely protected. We're surrounded. You got nothing to worry about. You only have many, many things to glory about.